Hello there and welcome back on another Friday night for another episode of Not Your Average Globetrotter. I'm Rafael Di Furia, back at it again to talk more about life abroad, living abroad. This week a little bit about traveling abroad and everything else in between. This week I wanted to get into ways to avoid standing out. The title may be more so targeted towards Americans, but there are certain things that people from all around the world do to really stand out. And so it's not just Americans who do some of these things, but as somebody who came from that country, I can very easily recognize these when out and about. I mean, like I've said a million times, it is very easy to recognize Americans from a mile away when you're abroad. They stand out like a sore thumb. And of course, this is not a knock on anybody. This is not saying anybody is better or worse or this or that. These are just some things that I might keep in mind if I were abroad and not wanting to attract attention to myself. But also, there will be some things to keep in mind as well, because there are some cultural differences that can help your interactions from day to day. So it's not just about not standing out, but it's also about navigating things when you are living abroad or traveling abroad. And one of the reasons why I want to do this episode is because I do feel as though that it is important to not stand out so much while you are abroad. The reason being is because you can be targeted as a tourist for certain scams or pickpockets or whatever it may be, but also not just for safety and security, but it can help to kind of have a nicer overall experience if you understand where the other people, the locals, are coming from socially and as far as etiquette wise. But also, I do want to get into dress and clothing and how you present yourself outwardly. It's not just about your behavior. It's also about how you outwardly present yourself overall. And I mean, this right here is, I would say, probably a decent thing to avoid, but we'll get into that in just a bit. But just before we jump into the rest of this episode, of course, a huge, huge thank you to those of you who help to make these episodes possible through Patreon, patreon.com/RafaelDiFuria, RafaelDiFuria.com/Patreon, or through the one-time donations, RafaelDiFuria.com/support, or of course through the shirts, mugs, onesies, and more. Thank you all so much for helping to make these episodes and this project possible and to be able to continue. But I think it's about time we get started, so roll that intro. This week's comment question of the week: if you're traveling abroad, or if you've traveled abroad in the past, or if you will be traveling abroad or living abroad, do you like to stand out, or do you prefer to maybe blend in with the background? If you do like to stand out, there's nothing wrong with that. Getting in touch with your inner peacock is not always a bad thing. But if you have traveled or lived abroad, what are some things that you've done to maybe avoid standing out a bit? So, of course, the very basic thing that I have started out so many episodes of Not Your Average Globetrotter saying: learn the language. This is huge. You may not have to learn the whole language if you are going to be traveling abroad, but at least learn some basic phrases so you're not standing there at the counter or when somebody talks to you looking like a deer caught in the headlight. It's important to learn at least some basic phrases, like if you're going to be traveling, yes, no, thank you, please, excuse me. That is a big one that I'm going to get to in a little bit here, as well as the word for maybe certain foods that you like: chicken, beef, vegetables, whatever it could be. But also words like bag, receipt, how, where is this, where is that? It's very helpful. And the biggest thing that I see so many people doing, and you know, it just really, in my opinion, is extremely rude when you go into a store or you have an interaction with somebody in their country and you're the guest and you speak to them in your language. Granted, yes, there are a lot of people that if English is your language, a lot of people do speak English. But in my personal opinion, what the right thing to do, what the most polite and respectful thing to do, is ask the person if they speak your language in their language. So like for me, if I'm in a place where I don't speak the language, I'll try to learn that phrase: do you speak English in their language, in the language of the country that I'm in? Even though a lot of people do speak English, not everybody does. And you will have situations where you will come across individuals when traveling abroad who may not speak English. And some people in that type of situation can feel a little awkward. So in that case, it can actually help smooth out things a little bit, to be a little bit more friendly in that way. But talking about being friendly, this is huge. This is, Americans have this tendency to really be super extra friendly. Hey, how you doing? Treating everybody like your friend. And even like, for example, if you go to a restaurant, the interaction that you might have with a waiter or waitress could be completely different than what you might have in the US versus somewhere else. I mean, I remember plenty of times going to the restaurants back in the States and the waiter or waitress, the server would be there like trying to be friendly, having a conversation, like we're good buddies or whatever. You'll notice in other parts of the world, that friendly attitude it's not that it doesn't exist, it's just expressed in a completely different way. And that's really important to consider, like etiquette. And the thing is, it's not that there's this social barrier because the person is cold and doesn't want to know you and this and that and the other. Granted, that could very well exist in some places and with some individuals. However, that social barrier kind of exists out of respect to you as the customer, not because, oh, we think we're better or we think we're this or you're that. It's out of respect for you. I mean, even here in Portugal, I can say there is a phrase that you will hear very often that basically translates to, excuse me. But the way that they use it, because there's pretty much two ways to say excuse me in Portuguese, but each one has kind of a different time and place that you would use it. Say you go to a restaurant here in Portugal. When the server comes to the table, they will say com licença, with license, excuse me. But that is whether they are interrupting you or they're not interrupting you, if everything's quiet. If they're approaching the table, they will come and they will use this phrase. But it's not just when they're making the approach to your table. It's also when leaving the table that many will also use the same phrase. And it's not just like when you're at a restaurant. Even yesterday, I was actually at a hardware store here in Braga. I was getting help from one of the sales assistants there. And when the interaction was over, the individual said, con licença, and as they were going away, as they left. So there's a lot more, especially also when you consider greetings. Like I said before, you don't just walk into a store and say, hi, how you doing? How's it going? Just to even ask somebody, how are you doing? In a lot of countries, and especially outside of the English-speaking world, hi, how are you? Is something that you would say to somebody that, well, depending on where you are, either your close friend or maybe your family member or somebody that you have a friendly kind of relationship with, that maybe you're not friends, but that you have a familiarity with each other. But even how you ask the question, because even in Italy, there were interactions where come stai, how are you, would be the norm kind of between us. Whereas with other interactions, tutto a posto, is everything all right, everything going cool. And it's kind of like how in the States, like you might think to say, hey, how's it going? And the normal response is good. How are you? It's not like that at all. If you ask somebody, hey, how are you doing? Well, you know, my life is this, my husband, my wife, my mother, my father, my son, my daughter, my this is happening. Oh, you wouldn't believe when I went down to the store and this happened and that. Like, people will start telling you their life stories. And even I've met Italians who were in the States and they said, why is everybody asking me how am I doing? Like, when I first got here, I didn't know they actually didn't care. Because even though we say it, it's part of a kind of normal greeting. Like, hey, how's it going? Good. How are you? It doesn't go beyond that. You don't tell the person your life story. You don't tell what's actually going on. Like, you enter into a store. This doesn't happen. This, you only go as far as good and you, pretty much. But even there are sometimes, even here in Portugal, for example, that the way that it translates culturally is a little funny. I don't remember if I mentioned this in the last episode or not. I may have cut it out. Anyway, it's going in this episode. I recently had to deal with some banking stuff on the phone. And the first couple of times I just did everything in Portuguese. And then I realized, oh, there's an English option. So I went through the English option. In the Portuguese customer service, just kind of a normal interaction, Nobody asked, hi, how are you doing? How's your day going? What's up? And all that stuff. It was just kind of like, hi, how can I help you? That kind of service. But then when I switched over to the English speaking customer service line, this didn't happen on just like one occasion. It's like every time there was an interruption of the conversation. That's what it kind of felt like. Oh, may I ask, how are you doing today? Like, okay, cool. Like, we don't know each other like that. After living abroad 13 years, I can say there's certain things and certain social barriers that I've gotten accustomed to. And it's like, why are you asking me this question? We don't even know each other. But there was that kind of like social cultural difference that was missed. Whereas in the States, yes, that question may be asked, but there's not necessarily the intention behind it, if you get what I mean. In a little bit, I do want to get into kind of about how people dress and so on. Some of the other social norms that kind of may help you to stand out a little bit less: greetings, time-sensitive salutations. It is very important to consider what time of day it is. It is very normal to have the greeting, good morning, good day, good afternoon, good evening, depending on what country and what language you're speaking. I mean, formality is something, especially when you're in Europe, there's a level of formality that is expected in Europe that we don't necessarily have back in the States. And again, it's not out of being cold or being mean or being rude. It's out of respect. Okay, granted, maybe there are some people who could be rude. I'm definitely generalizing here. These are just things from my experience, as well as having spoken with other expats over the years, what they've noticed, as well as what the locals have noticed, like some of the cultural differences and people who've been in different countries. Some of these things really do make a difference. Like, again, you don't walk into the store and say, hey, how's it going? How are you? No, it's like, hello, good day, good morning, good afternoon. Maybe like if in German, like maybe you're in some parts of the South or maybe in Austria, maybe you'll hear the saying, Grüß Gott, like God's greetings be upon you or something like that. But very often in a lot of the continent, you will hear the good mornings, good afternoons, good evenings. But then even you have to kind of understand what is considered the afternoon. Sometimes that afternoon gets stretched out a little bit into the evening, and it depends on the language. Also referring to a person that you're familiar with or that you don't know, if you're just friends, of course, you'll use each other's first names, but in a setting where maybe, again, you're in a shop or in a situation where you don't know the other person, using sir or madam is actually very common in a lot of these European languages and the culture and the customs. So you need to know. And I can say even like in Portugal, Spain, Italy, these are very much considered like when you're going into a store and to use these different words like signore, senhora, senhor. But in Portuguese, even they take it to another kind of step above. Here, at least in Portugal, they will say o senhor or a senhora. Even when speaking directly to you, instead of using the word for you, você, they will say o senhor or a senhora. So that can be a little bit of a mentality switch that you might want to just be accustomed to, that you will have those interactions. And so you don't just say hola when you're in Portugal to maybe somebody who you don't know. Or even when you're in Italy, saying ciao. You don't walk into a store and say ciao, come stai? I know I'm repeating myself just in another language, but again, you will walk into a store and say buongiorno, buonasera, buon whatever. Something that is appropriate for the moment. And that is just, again, done out of respect. In Portugal, bom dia, boa tarde, boa noite. In Spain, buenos dias, buenas tardes, buenas noches. Or in Germany, guten Tag, guten Abend, guten Nacht. You will use these different time-sensitive salutations. I want to get back into behaviors in just a second, but just to kind of talk about clothing quickly. A baseball cap. This is something that you don't necessarily see often. Maybe for like younger guys, you will see it, but in a lot of places, especially not for women, a really huge giveaway of somebody that they could be American is baseball cap, really baggy hoodie from their university, and sweatpants or yoga pants and flip-flops. That is a complete giveaway that the person just may be American. The other thing is, like I said in last week's episode, sometimes in some places, people don't wear necessarily super bright colors, like bright oranges and greens and purples and pinks and whatever. Yeah, you may find the individual who does here and there, but you also have to consider where it is that you're going and how the people there dress. But of course, like, you have to just consider if you're overdressed or underdressed, that you don't go too over the top. I mean, dressing in a business suit on the beach is not going to make sense, but maybe if you're on the beach wearing like a very brightly colored swimsuit is totally fine, but you wouldn't want to wear maybe necessarily a brightly colored swimsuit in the middle of the city. Dressing appropriately for the occasion definitely counts for something. You're not going to want to dress the same way that you would walking down the street in Berlin, the same way that you would walk out in the countryside in some small village in the middle of rural Spain. There's a difference. Or even rural Portugal, or even within Portugal itself, you don't want to dress the same way that you would be going to the beach down in the Algarve, down in the south, like in the middle of Lisbon or Porto, like in the middle of a city, or even Braga. You don't want to dress like that because you will stand. I mean, even a couple of days ago, I had a very odd experience. There was one guy that was walking down the streets. I'm almost sure he was a Scottish tourist, and he was walking around in short shorts. The reason why I think he's Scottish is because recently here in Braga, if you've been following UEFA, there was a game between a local team and a Scottish team, and a lot of tourists who came in to go and see that game. But this guy, he was walking down the street. His shorts just came down. He just took them off right in the middle of the street. And not only was the action of taking your pants off in the middle of the sidewalk, in the middle of a city, a bit inappropriate, the way that he was dressed did actually make him stand out a lot because he was wearing short shorts and a t-shirt. The other guys in his group were also wearing shorts and t-shirts. But based on the weather of that day, what would have been maybe more appropriate would have been a thick jacket and a scarf. So those are just some things that you do want to take into consideration, that maybe you're taking some of these social cues in mind so that you don't stand out, so that you don't attract attention to yourself, so that maybe you don't attract the attention of individuals who are looking for tourists or that are looking for people who may not know up from down or how to get around in that place where they are. I mean, even there are some parts of the world where you don't really want to wear anything flashy. Whether that's big jewelry, earrings, big watches, fancy watches, whatever that may be, or even like a bedazzled t-shirt or a bedazzled hat, or even in some places and even some upscale areas. I'm not going to go into specifics here, but just to keep in mind, and I'm not specifically talking about where I live or any of the places where I live, but there do exist places where you could be walking, and if you have a shirt that says Nike or some Adidas shoes, they could be taken off of you in the middle of the day. This does exist in the world. I'm not going to say this happens in Europe, though, but there are places in the world where that can and will happen. So, do you want to be walking around shirtless and shoeless? And please also don't think that by my saying this is going to happen to you if you go abroad. Hell, there are places in the States where the same thing could happen to you. But really, it's just important to be cognizant of your surroundings and what's around you. And when you can fit in a little bit more and be able to blend in, it really, again, is one of those things that, in my opinion, really helps to have a much better situation and fun time overall. Granted, of course, you can break some of these rules. I mean, wearing a baseball cap, even though it's not the norm and will make you stand out in many situations, especially if you have one inside. This is something I do all the time. I know it's rude. I know it's horrible to do, but I do leave my hat on inside. This is one thing that I have accepted that does make me stand out. But there are other things that I do to try to not stand out as much. And so in some cases, people may clock me as American. And most situations, people don't clock me as American until I open my mouth. Even then, there's a lot of people that guess that I'm Canadian for whatever reason that may be, or that English might be my second language. Although with how bad my grammar's gotten over the years, they've got a good reason to think that English is not my first language. But again, being able to avoid wearing like super baggy, oversized clothing and things that are very classically American, like again, hoodies, especially with like your university on it, or again, or something that I hate to say this word because it could very easily be misunderstood, but frumpy. A lot of the clothing in Europe tends to be a little bit more fitted. Even granted, I'm wearing something that's definitely oversized right now, but that's because I'm working from home and I want something a bit comfortable, but that still is passable. That's something also to keep in consideration. But when I'm saying fitted, I'm not saying like skin tight. It has to work for your size and shape. And that will be different for each individual person. And I'm not saying that if you're going to travel or live abroad that you have to buy a whole new wardrobe, but just to be a little bit mindful that maybe people dress a little bit differently where you're coming from. Although this, I will say, might be a little bit more of a central and maybe a little bit more Western European thing, because when you get to Central and Northern, especially Germany, people can dress like they're from the Northwest of the United States and can be hard to tell the difference sometimes. So it's always even not just American tourists that are easy to tell apart, but often German tourists. There's almost a uniform that I feel as though I've seen that it's very easy to pick out. Oh, that's a German tourist, American tourist. Oh, British tourist. But even I've been told by women who have lived in the United States and also in Europe or have traveled to Europe, something that they noticed immediately was the way that makeup was done here. They said it was a lot more subdued and a lot more natural looking, unless maybe like you're going and you're in some funky area of a city and you're really trying to stand out, or maybe you're going clubbing or something, then the heavy makeup might go on, or England. Just going to say that. Yes, I know I'm going to offend some people, but there are certain areas that may have a tendency to wear heavier makeup than others, and not a problem with that. It's just local societal norms. No problem with that at all. But talking about local societal norms, I think there's a few last final details just before finishing off that I would like to quickly address. Standing out is not just about the way you look and not just about the simple acts and things that you do in your behavior, but also some of the maybe larger, more loud actions that a person might take. One extreme example that I remember very clearly was I was walking in Merano in northern Italy, in the German-speaking area where I used to live, and there was a woman walking down the street, pushing a stroller. I was like, oh, that's so cute, a grandmother pushing the grandchild, and just on a nice walk on a little cool day, and this individual was looking at the carriage, oh, hello, like all that kind of cutesy-wootsy stuff. And so I was like, all right, that's great. And then, of course, like, you can't help but, like, just be curious and look over. And then all I'm going to say is there wasn't a baby in the carriage. There wasn't nothing in the carriage. There was a cat. There was a cat in the carriage getting the little coochie-woochie-woochies and all that. It was a hairless cat, too. Just, I mean, hey, everybody's got their thing, but, like, that's something that really makes a person stand out. The individual actually happened to be a German tourist in that case. But you have to keep in mind that maybe there are certain social norms. Maybe there are certain things that you do that could be worth leaving at home. But another thing that is a huge giveaway, especially for American tourists, and sometimes in some cases, I would say also German and British tourists. But of course, it's not just these nationalities. There are many nationalities, and I would say maybe even Spanish. But especially Americans are probably at the top of the list for how loud that they can be when they're walking around or even sitting at a restaurant, like shouting at each other, like really talking very loud. Every once in a while, if I'm out with friends and we're just having a great time, like maybe I will a little bit if that's kind of the mood of the place or whatever it may be. But I do think it is very important to try to not speak as loud and to because even like when you see people walking down the street, it's kind of interesting to notice based on the country that they're from. Like Americans tend to walk a little bit further away from each other and speak a little bit more loudly to one another, almost shouting at times when you're, especially tourists, like walking around on the street. Again, a generalization, a very gross generalization here, but just some things to keep in mind, some ideas that people do have about Americans when they're traveling abroad so that you may be able to avoid these in the future when you are abroad yourself. But then people from other countries, especially European countries, walk a little bit closer together or sit a little bit closer and maybe not speak as loudly. And again, I'm just going to use the exact same example that I've been using throughout this whole video You don't want to walk into a store and say, hey, how's it going? How are you doing? If you're walking into a store, you'd say hello, good afternoon, kind of in a more calm manner. You don't want to be the big, boisterous, out there, loud. Bring it in a little bit. Doesn't hurt. Also, it's not just about maybe trying to avoid speaking like loudly, like very loudly. Keep in mind what you're talking about. I can't tell you how many times I've been in places in different countries where I've heard English speakers complaining about the locals in English, thinking that nobody's going to understand them. And it's not just in English, and it's not just only Americans or Australians or British. There are people from all around the world in different languages. And so, yes, some of the different languages that I understand, I have heard people complaining about locals wherever they may be. But that is so not cool. I mean, even just the other night, I was out with some friends grabbing a meal, and at a table right behind, there were a group of Americans talking about, oh, the locals, they and like, that's just not cool. And there's been times, like, for example, like I remember one specifically years ago, oh, the locals, they're so rude and And again, this is getting into what I was talking about earlier, about there are some things that may be rude where you come from, but in another part of the world are done out of a sign of respect. And it's just a cultural difference and a misunderstanding. But again, so kind of getting back to this situation, I was sitting at a cafe and there were these Americans there and they were talking, oh, the locals, they're so rude and And just because they're at the next table to me, it wasn't hard to kind of lean over and say, oh, well, hey, you know, some of those rude locals may actually understand you. Faces went white. Everybody was silent for the rest of the time there. Paid my bill, got up and walked out. But no, really, I mean, especially if you are an English speaker and especially with how many people do speak English, and even if you find people that say they don't speak English, there are a lot of people who do still understand some. So always keep that in mind. I mean, because that is not cool. You're in a place as a guest and okay, you may not be happy about it, but you don't need to be out in public talking badly about people in front of them. That's not cool. But anyway, thank you so much for joining me again for this week's episode of Not Your Average Globetrotter. Of course, a huge, huge thank you to those of you who helped to make these episodes possible on a regular basis through Patreon on a monthly basis, rafaeldifuria.com/Patreon or patreon.com/rafaeldifuria. Thank you also very much for helping to make these episodes possible. And of course, a huge thank you to those of you who've helped out with the one-time donations, as well as with the purchases of the shirts, mugs, onesies, and more. It's all because of you guys that I am able to consider keeping this project going. So really, thank you all so very, very much. Of course, I'm Rafael Di Furia. Stay safe and healthy out there. And I will see you all next time for the next episode of Not Your Average Globetrotter. Later.